from you. We are having a 3-day Japa retreat for the brahmacharis of ISKCON Chowpatty and the Govardhan Eco Village Ashram. So we are very, very grateful, Maharaj, for you to come and give your time to us. So we have His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, who is the temple president and a leader at the temple. So we would request him to welcome Maharaj. And
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept our humble obeisances. Specifically, I came to express my gratitude because in the last 1 year, I was reading this book on Gayatri Mantra. I actually read Manashiksha of Raghunath Das Goswami. And there he says, Swamantre Sri Namni. So I said, Nam I know, but Swamantre is what? And then I developed a desire to understand more about Gayatri Mantra. And one of my godbrothers, Radha Dyuti Prabhu, gave me the book. And after reading that, I'm looking forward to chant my next Gayatri. And truly I thought, I wish I had had this access to this book 33 years ago when I received it. I would have taken full advantage. But then I realized probably, you know, sometimes it is better at a suitable time to get this to actually develop an appreciation. And also recently I've been reading The Living Name and the systematic way you describe from Yojana to Sambandha to Seva to Vipralamba, then Sharanagati and Sankalpa. It was so systematically expressed. I was really, you know, in the last 1.5 years, both the Gayatri and the Holy Name, first time I'm actually trying to take shelter. And also earlier I had read the Tree of Life that you had given a presentation to Bhaktivedanta Manor, Pandav Sena, and I've been speaking about it to our counselors, developing stability in Krishna consciousness, and of course, Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, and so many. One thing I really appreciate is the books that you write, which are helpful not only to the newcomers to actually develop a serious commitment to why they are doing what they are doing, and also to any devotee at any stage to, you know, kind of reboot the system than just ritualistically, mechanically, just kind of ticking off the box. So I'm extremely grateful, Maharaj, for these books. And that's why I told Rasikraman Prabhu that I would like to express my gratitude to Maharaj, and I would like to hear from him today and therefore. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's very endearing for someone who writes if the audience can understand and appreciate and apply what has been written. You will most probably like the new book. It is a very interesting presentation. I feel that we have to look at Smaranam, or remembering Krishna, in our ISKCON according to Prabhupada's guideline, and in this way make contemplation or meditation something that purifies our internal body, our antakarana, our mind, intelligence and sense of identity. So that is a very unique presentation. It will come out hopefully by October. It will be called Inner Stillness. And then it will be followed by a book with an exclusively devotional audience in mind called Smaranam. Yes, I'm very grateful to address all of you today. I have heard, I believe from Rasik Raman Prabhu, that you are on a sadhana retreat, and that you, I'm reading from my notes here, that you wish me to talk about developing deep aspirations to become a sincere sadhaka who's greedy for Krishna Naam and Krishna Prema. These are my notes. You want to become very motivated so that you can go with taste towards Krishna Naam and Krishna Prema. I've also heard that tomorrow is your 64 rounds day, and that my presentation is meant to motivate you perhaps, or give you some strength to go into the 64 rounds day. And with these informations I will address you today. But first of all, let me express my profound joy, really, to talk to all of you today. It's a great honor for me. I feel always greatly inspired to address those who are very sincere in their spiritual path. And I will talk, as I think some of you know, I will challenge you at times a little. For those of you who have not yet heard my attempt to serve the devotees, I can request you to fasten your seatbelts because we will address things very directly and clearly. Try to. All right, so let us start. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachadine Nirvashesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Satarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Please, all of us. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. My dear devotees, if we want to do anything for a longer amount of time, if we want to do anything with strength and enthusiasm, it is very, very important to work on our motivation, that which inspires us, that gives us strength. Jiva Goswami says Shraddha, or faith, is this motivation, and it takes care of the devotee like a loving mother who takes care of the child. When a little child has difficulty, it is the mother who will take care of the child by providing foodstuffs, help against danger, and so on. So when we experienced a little difficulty in our spiritual life, it is our Shraddha that motivates us, that keeps us going, and that provides us with virya. Virya is strength in our spiritual life. Without Shraddha, we will lack the strength which is required to swim against the current. That means to do something else or follow a different path while the whole world is engaged differently. The world is engaged in sense gratification and material pursuits, and the devotee swims against this current of the world, the jagat, the flowing material energy, by being motivated with his faith and also provided with virya, with strength, by faith. Do you understand how important faith is? Deep faith based on the scriptures, because it will give you motivation, and Vyasadeva says it will give you strength. Both of it is required if you want to push forward in an effort that is extraordinary, that is different from the current of the world. I am addressing you today as you are brahmacharis. You are following the Brihadvrata, the big vow that is the vow of celibacy that is based on spiritual practice. Very important. The word brahmachari means, chari means to do, and brahma means the things of the spirit. A brahmachari is first and foremost someone who follows the path of the spirit. Celibacy is a byproduct that helps him, but the main focus of the brahmachari, as we hear from that word, brahmachari, is the act of the spiritual platform. This is very important to understand. We are not, there are so many celibates. There are also men who are important, and therefore celibate. But the brahmachari is not celibate for these and other reasons. The brahmachari is celibate because of the spiritual pursuit. And this brings us immediately to the chanting of the holy name. But before I do so, I want to shake you a little bit. I want to ask you, where is the great enemy to spiritual life, lust, situated? Is it in the body? Or is it somewhere else?
Mind, intelligence, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and senses.
Mind, intelligence, yes, it is in the subtle body. The gross body, which is made of the material elements, is not there. There is not the lust. Earth is not lusty. Water is not lusty. Fire is not lusty. Earth, water, fire. Air is not lusty. Ether is not lusty. It's here inside the mind. The mind can see in a wooden doll by an attractive woman. It may see in a telegraphic pole. We have this in Europe. These are wooden poles where the lines of the telephone lines are going. It can see a beautiful woman there and project this image there. Lust happens when the mind puts raga or a color on gross material objects, on the body. When it colors the body of an opposite gender and makes it thing of attraction. We find now in the West, I do not know in India, also men are very often seen to make the male body the object of their lust, because somehow the mind projects on it or colors it in a way so that attraction can happen. Therefore, renunciation is called vairaga. You take the color, the projection of the mind, away from an object, and at that time you are no longer attracted. We find this in the story of Liquid Beauty, no? Where I will only mention the story. You must have heard it many times. So it's very important that the Sanskrit word for attachment, raga, is coming from the root, Sanskrit root, ranj, which means to color, to put a color on a person. The discoloring, or taking the color back, away, is called vairagya, making it without color. I want to tell you a story before I come to the holy name, but I'm introducing my subject still. I think you all remember from Mahabharata how there was this lusty general, Kichaka, who was there in the kingdom of Virata, it was the kingdom where the Pandavas and Draupadi and Kunti stayed in hiding for the last year of their exile. So all the Pandavas had to take on different roles, different personas, and Arjuna became the dancing master because he had a talent in dancing of the ladies. Yudhishthira became a Brahmin counselor, and Bhimsen became a cook because he liked to eat very much. Draupadi became the servant of the queen. Now the general of that country in which the Pandavas stayed undercover, Kichaka, had an eye for this female servant. Her name was, as far as I remember, someone help me, was it Chiringi or something like this? Rasik Raman, you all, please help me. What name did Draupadi take on?
Sairindri Maharaj.
Sairitri.
Sairindri.
Sairindri. Thank you. Sairindri. So Kichaka wanted to spend a night in the company of this most beautiful maidservant, and Draupadi came undercover in the kitchen and said, Bhimsena, this Kichaka is making advances towards me. He has already inappropriately touched me. What can I do? Oh, said Bhimsena, don't worry. You tell him that he should meet you at this hall, and you will spend the night with him in this hall, and I will go there, and I will lie there, and I will have a blanket over me, and when he comes, I will deal with him. You don't worry. So Bhimsena went into that hall, and he was waiting for Kichaka, and at the appointed hour Kichaka came in. He had perfumed his body very nicely, and he was in best mood. He was very excited, and he looked at this pile, you know, where Bhimsena was lying, but his mind thought, this is Draupadi. It projected the most lusty fantasies on Bhimsena, actually. And then when he came and he lied next to Bhimsena, and Bhimsena took his hand out and grabbed him by the neck, and Kichaka went, oh, very nice. You have a strong kshatriya grip. You are of my kind. Wonderful. And Bhimsen shook him, and he went, oh, yes, 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 very nice. This is a very interesting game. Or I don't know his exact words, but he was still projecting with his mind his lusty feelings on Bhimasena, actually. So we all have heard this story often in the morning when the servants came into the hall. They saw Kichaka, but he looked like a tortoise. All the limbs had been punched into him, and he had found his death in the hands of Bhimasena. I wanted to tell you this story with the perspective which we have today, that lust is in the mind, and it is projected on an object or a person, and we make great mistakes when we do this. But this quality of projecting enjoyment into this world is so very, very deeply rooted in the mind that it's very difficult to give this up. In Padyavali, Srila Rupa Goswami has adopted a poem by an anonymous poet who says, it is not by wearing saffron that we can give up lust. It is not that by studying the scriptures that we can give up lust. It is not that by performing austerities we can give up lust. It is not that by going on pilgrimages we can give up lust. No, it is only when we focus on Govinda, on the Lord of our heart, that lust is going away. My dear devotees, chanting the holy name is the preferred process in Kali Yuga to fix our mind on Krishna, and in this contact, or by this contact, we can take away or we can become neutral against this biggest of all enemies. It's the strongest enemy, according to Krishna in the Gita. This lust, which is taking its seat in the mind, in the intelligence, in the senses, no? It is only by Govinda, by making contact with Govinda or Krishna, that we can give this up. The scripture, Prabhupada has given the quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita that darkness can only go in the presence of the light. Even darkness which is millions of years old, let us say in a cave that in the Himalayas that was not opened for a long time. Long-standing darkness, when the light comes, then the darkness has to go. It's not even a big fight which takes place. It happens effortlessly. It happens naturally. So in the same way, our heart can become free from the inner darkness, which is the hiding place of lust, by the chanting of the holy name. That is very, very important. My dear devotees, why is it important? You want to go on a 64-round stay. You must have a strong motivation to do this. And one of the motivations which you can have is that this helps me to get rid of my inner darkness. This chanting helps me to be with Krishna. One of the most important realizations which was given to me by Prabhupada's mercy is that chanting Hare Krishna is not just a sadhana. It's also a sadhana, but it's not just a sadhana. It is building our relationship with Krishna, coming into a relationship with Krishna, inviting Krishna into our hearts so that we can become purified from the strong effects of material contamination. Please, you might forget many things because you have heard many lectures from many very qualified lecturers. But remember this as the first point from this lecture. Chanting of Hare Krishna is first and foremost an activity to build a relationship with Krishna. In one of the Pandal programs which Srila Prabhupada gave in Mumbai, he said so nicely that you will see when you chant, you are moving step to step, step by step forward, so that you come face to face with Krishna. He said like that. It's a scientific process, he said. He wanted to explain that this is happening in a reliable way. Chanting the holy name is first and foremost something that the forgetful soul who's overwhelmed by the material energy, who's overwhelmed by this inner darkness, makes the relationship with Krishna, and in the relationship with Krishna overcomes his or her numerous obstacles on the spiritual path. Very numerous. Now, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami makes the point that kirtan is a more effective process than japa. Can anyone of you have an idea why kirtan is more glorified? Why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu known as the avatar who brought the holy name mostly in kirtan? We don't hear so much about his japa. There are verses in Rupa Goswami's writings where it is, for instance, said he counted while he chanted the names on a string, not with knots. But he is mostly known in the scriptures as the one who does always kirtan, no? Who sings the holy name. Why is kirtan more efficient in Kali Yuga than japa? Anyone has an idea?
More number of senses are involved actively, and also the presence of other sincere devotees in the association.
Mm-hmm.
It can be practiced by anybody, from a child up to the old age, whatever.
This is Prabhuji, I know you. Please help me with your good name. Radha.
Radha Kund,
of course. Radha Kundji is my pranabandhu. Good. Any other reason? It's a good question, isn't it? I know how it is. When someone who has already an answer, like in this case, I have an answer, then we feel, oh my God, he has already the answer. I will give you the answer which Sanatana Goswami gives. But your answers are all very good. He says, for japa, you need a pure mind that is not turbulent. But kirtan purifies the turbulent mind. And you gave some of the reasons why kirtan purifies the turbulent mind. There is a group participation, and you share in the qualities. Are the things that develop in the group when the spiritual energy rises, or the excitement or devotional intensity rises, you feel it. And like a ship in a harbor that rises when the flood comes, your consciousness will also rise. In the Bhagavatam, there are interesting observations about this. So, japa, to make successful japa, is possible when the mind is purified. And I think you all know, when the mind is not purified, the things that are there in the mind come up during japa. All of a sudden, you think of material subjects during the japa. These things become released, these thoughts. There's a name for them. Vyuta. There's a name for them. I don't remember. They become released from your subconscious mind, and they come up, these impure things, like water that was trapped on the ground of a pond becomes not water, air that was trapped on the bottom of a pond becomes released when the pond is stirred up and bloop, some air comes up. So this is what happens when we have a normal mind and we do japa. We are confronted with impurities, and when you chant 64 rounds, which is minimal, it's not much, but if you chant 64 rounds and your mind is not yet pure, whoa, you will have a karmic cinema show in your mind going on. It will be strenuous for you. And you will become tired after some time. The mind will become unwilling if it is not purified. There is, however, a way to do japa which will help you so that you don't have to struggle so much with the impurities in your mind. First of all, let us look at the question, if kirtan is more powerful than japa, why do we do japa? Why do we have to give a vow? I'm chanting 16 rounds minimum. And why don't we just say, well, I sing kirtan for 2 hours a day minimum? The reason why japa is still so fundamental is that during japa, my dear devotees, you have to learn to be with Krishna. As Prabhupada says, you have to chant in the mood, my dear Lord, please accept me in your service. In kirtan, sometimes we are maybe absent-minded. In japa, you cannot afford to be absent-minded. In japa, you can't afford to be spaced out. In japa, you can't afford to do mind wandering, because otherwise your time becomes terrible. It is not nice. In japa, you have to learn to focus on Krishna. Now, Jiva Goswami says something very nicely about that there are 2 types of holy names, not one, 2 types of holy names. Listen carefully, because this is very important for your 64 round stay and for your happy, enthusiastic chanting, which is full of strength. I'm reading to you from Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the 6th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 20. There he says, there are 2 types of chanting the name. Kevala and Sneha Samyukta. Sneha Samyukta means with affection, and Kevala, the only chanting, means without affection. The first type, I read it, of the Kevala chanting, where you chant without affection your japa, no? Keeps the person from going to hell. You are kept away from your sinful reactions, no? But only the second one, that is Sneha Samyukta Nam, that is the name which is connected, Samyukta, with affection, only the second gives you closeness to the Lord. This discussion about the 2 types of names takes place in connection with Ajamil's story. You remember, Ajamil chanted at his deathbed the name of his son Narayan. Narayan was 5 years old at that time, this son, and Ajamil was already 85 or so. So he had conceived his child in his mature old age, because his lusty feelings had not been satiated. He was still very active in sense gratification. So when he was on his deathbed, he saw his little boy playing nearby and felt some comfort. Then when the three Yamadutas came to take him and snatch him out of his body, he was horrified, and his little boy was playing innocently around him. He didn't understand. He just thought his father was resting, perhaps. Ajamil saw his little boy and he shouted, "Narayan! Narayan! Narayan!" in great panic. And we all have heard this many times in the lecture. The Lord, Narayan, heard, "Oh, this Ajamil calls out my name." In the Sanskrit of the Bhagavatam, we find out he's thinking like this. He calls my name. He's my person. He belongs to me. I have to take care of him. And he sent the Vishnu Dutas. Now let us pause here. This is now very important. Did the Vishnu Dutas take him back to Godhead? To the closeness of the Lord? No. They only saved him from going to hell. That is, being pulled by the Yamadutas to the hellish planets. They didn't bring him close to Narayan, because he had chanted without affection to Narayan. He had chanted Kevala Nam, only the name. Ajamil had to first go to Haridwar, where he stayed in a temple and he engaged in puja, to learn to chant the second form of name, that is Sneha Samyukta, with affection. My dear devotees, when you chant with affection for Krishna, it is very, very easy to chant. And when Prabhupada was talking about Haridas Thakur, who started chanting early in the morning and finished when the next sunrise was there, and he Haridas Thakur was thinking, "Oh, I have not even chanted already. The sun is rising. What has happened?" Because he chanted with affection. He didn't chant mechanically. If you chant just your 64 rounds or 120 8 rounds or 192 rounds without affection, you are a Sankhyavadi. You believe in numbers. You're not a Mayavadi, you are a Sankhyavadi. And it will be difficult. But if you chant it with some sincerity, then with some affection, and how to do this I will say in a moment, then, my dear devotees, it is a different story. And you will have already Krishna's full presence in the name. You will feel very connected with Krishna, and you will feel very encouraged. What does it mean for a devotee to chant with some sincerity, with some devotional feeling, and not just mechanically. Jagadananda gives a beautiful discussion in his Prema Vivata, 6th chapter, verses 7 to 12. He talks about the living entity who wanders from body to body, life to life, universe to universe, until he becomes, he meets a genuine devotee and becomes enlightened by his contact and doesn't want material entanglement any longer. At that time, such a devotee laments, such a fortunate soul laments. He says, "Oh no! Alas, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long?" And he bitterly cries out, "Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left your shelter, my life has become totally devastated." When Krishna sees that a soul calls out, "Oh my Lord, I'm your eternal servant, but I have become a Maya Das. Please make me a Krishna Das again." The Lord is so kind that he releases the conditioned soul from Maya's captivating spell. And he gives that person strength, virya, with his transcendental internal energy. And this is how you should chant. Rupa Goswami says, bhakti cannot be obtained by a lot of sadhana. No. It would mean that Krishna is under the control of the jiva. If we just need to do some sadhana, then Krishna has to come like a waiter in a restaurant who has to come when we call him, because otherwise he gets fired from the restaurant. No, Krishna is not like a waiter in a restaurant who is bound to fulfill our orders, but he comes only when he says you are chanting with some affection. Perhaps like Jagadananda says, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? I'm your eternal servant, my dear Lord. Ever since I left your service, my Lord, my life has become completely devastated. I am not even the shadow of a devotee now. I now cry out to you, my Lord, please accept me. For so many long years in this material world, I have really completely forgotten you. But today I'm surrendering unto you. Today, 64-hour day, I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. My dear devotee, this I quoted the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text 22. Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 33. Please make a note in your notebook. Find this verse, CC Madhya 22, 33, because there you get the right orientation, what it could mean to chant not just Kevala Nam, not just mechanically the names, but to chant Sneha Samyukta Nam, chant the name with some feeling attached to it, some love attached to it. Krishna immediately responds to this. The scriptures say that what is the Lord's response? He says, It is my vow. I have given a vow here that if one only one sincerely surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I'm yours, and prays to me for courage, then I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. My dear devotees, when you chant tomorrow your 64 rounds day, and you come to that state where due to a lack of purification in the heart, lack of Krishna consciousness, you feel dry, you feel thirsty perhaps, you feel distracted, and you just go on by willpower alone, but inside you are walking through the desert. At that time, my dear devotees, pray to Krishna. Oh, my dear Krishna, I'm trying but I'm failing. Please help me. This should be done. Prabhupada has talked about this in the early days of our movement in San Francisco. He says the devotee should chant and pray. Not just chant. Chant and pray. And then the Lord will definitely hear such a devotee. This is what it could mean to chant with Sneha Samyukta, the second name. Not the name which Ajamil chanted when he was on his deathbed. No? I'm a little over time. What do I want to say here in summary? My dear devotees, if you wish that your chanting progresses from the mechanic level of chanting, my dear devotee, if you wish that Krishna comes and destroys the inner darkness in your heart, which manifests amongst other things as trivial attachments to the world, lust and so on, you must learn to chant Samyukta Sneha Naam, name with some love. I know love is a big word, and it is not easy to find love in the heart of a conditioned soul. So at least chant with some prayer. At least chant in this mood which we have heard in the scripture. You remember the Krishna Toma Hana, that is the Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 33. Address Krishna. Be aware that this is about a relationship. It is not just about reaching a certain number and then bragging around, I chanted 64 rounds. 64 rounds is nothing. Mahaprabhu in his time said he wouldn't eat anything from someone. It's not a great sense of achievement. Even if you chant 128 rounds, it's not a great achievement if it is mechanic rounds, because Krishna cannot be impressed by this. It is the little love and affection, the little bhakti, which impresses Krishna. Then, but if he can chant the name with a little bhakti, oh, my dear devotees, then we will come running from Germany, Gokrishna and myself, and congratulate each single one of you with affection in our hearts. Good. I have said what I wanted to say. Thank you for listening. I think there is now some little time left for questions and answers. Please, I think Radhika... what? Rasik Raman. I'm sorry. I'm getting... Rasik Raman. Here, your good name is there. Yes, please help us. How do we conduct this question and answer session? I can't hear you. You may have to unmute yourself. I'm sorry, I'm unable to hear anything. Something is not yet working.
Hare Krishna?
Yes, Hare Krishna. I hear you now. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, first of all, for very systematically sharing with us, first of all, challenging us by presenting that where is the lust? It is there, and not in the objects, but in our mind. And the mind is colored, and the Vairagya is about giving up this rag, and we can purify this mind by this process of chanting the holy name. And especially we have to chant with affection, and even if that affection is not there, we have to chant with a very prayerful heart. So thank you so much, Maharaj. We have prepared at least, you know, we will try at least to be in the consciousness tomorrow and chant our extra rounds. 64 rounds is not a big task, is not a big achievement, but definitely. So we will request devotees to ask questions of Maharaj, and we have some 15 minutes, Maharaj. So can we go ahead? So please, can anyone raise their hand so we can bring the mic to you?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for this beautiful class. I had one question. Often I've heard you say that love of Krishna is not achieved by a sadhaka, it is received. And unfortunately, while chanting, one of the challenges I have faced is often to be in the mood of control. I want to control my mind. I want to listen to this Mahamantra attentively. For this control freak or the control tendency is very deep rooted. So like in Jnana Marg, Yoga Marg, they are all in, they're focusing on achieving something. So even as sadhaka, even after so many years of chanting, the mood of wanting to get something. So how do we overcome this mood of being in the control space, you know, rather than just surrender and let Krishna take charge of our lives? How do I enter that space of surrendering myself to Krishna?
What a wonderful question, Prabhuji. May I know your good name, please?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my name is Braj Bihari Das.
Braj Bihari Prabhu, Hare Krishna. I believe I have seen you in the past. Yes. So,
Hare Krishna.
Have you all understood Braj Bihari Prabhu's question? He was saying that in bhakti we are more like receivers than achievers. It is because bhakti must be given to us. It is not something that we develop like muscle strengths. Muscle strengths is an inherent potential that is developed by exercise. Bhakti is also an inherent potential, but it must be given by the devotee, by Krishna, and so on. Therefore, it is known as an energy, the Bhakti Shakti. Bhakti Shakti is actually emanating from Srimati Radharani. Therefore, the great souls, Mahatmanas Tumang Pata, Devim Prakritim Ashrita, they are under the shelter of the divine energy, no? Srimati Radhika, who supplies us with that Bhakti Shakti and empowers our life. Braj Bihari Prabhu and everyone, this question of how can I come into this receiver mood, into the humble mood of and not the controller mood, is something very important in my spiritual life. You must know, I have a German background, and Germans are known to try to figure it out. They also, during the Second World War, they actually wanted to take over the entire world and Germanize it. Adolf Hitler thought that the Germans are the best race, better than all other ethnic groups, and so on. And I have grown up with this mentality. I was not born in Krishna consciousness. And it became a very perplexing question. How do I get the right mood of bhakti? And then one day, I read something which I want to read to you. I will request Gokrishna, my assistant, to get the Sharanagati prayer book from... Oh, you have it here? I read something which perhaps some of you... Yes, it's there. Have heard also. I just want to find this for you. It's really... Yes, here, I found it. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jivadaya Jiva Prabhu Jivadaya Kari Sadanga Sharanagati Hai Bijahara Tahara Pratana Shune Shri Nanda Kumara. It means Shri Nanda Kumar Krishna hears the prayers of one who surrenders. Krishna, a better English translation would be Shri Nanda Kumar listens to the prayers. He hears everything. Everywhere the Lord is present, and he is aware of everything, but he listens. He takes it to heart. If someone who is surrendering to him in a sixfold way is doing this, after I had read this, I made it a point in my life to get, first of all, the songbook from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati. I quoted from this songbook because this is much, much more than a songbook. It is actually a guidebook which teaches us to surrender to Krishna. It teaches us all the important sentiments which we need to adopt, you know. And what I'm doing, Braj Bihari Prabhu, is I'm reading this from front to back. Since 20 years, I'm reading it from front to back. When I've reached the end of the book, I immediately make the reading mark in the first song again and read. I must have read the book maybe 500 times or 1,000 times. I do not know. I have not counted because... And every time I read it, it's like new, because it brings me to new levels of surrendering to Krishna, and only the surrendered soul will get bhakti. I want to show you something. I have remained a simple person. One moment. This glass is empty. Now, how will the water from this thermos, green thermos, come into this glass? Will it come by mantras? we have a mantra in Germany is Simsalabim. Will it come like this? Will it come by? I have no example. No, it will come if the glass goes under the water, and then this thing called gravitation is happening, and the water very easily flows into the glass. Very simple, very easy, no problem. It will come there very easily. In the same way, bhakti will flow from up to down. If you want to control bhakti, Braj Bihariji, you will never get the bhakti. It will flow everywhere else. It will come to the young, it will come to the beggar who begs before Chopati for food. And you will be there, Mr. Proud Brahmachari. No bhakti there. No, because you have not practiced Sharanagati. You have not surrendered. And one of the symptoms is humility, which means really a deep feeling of lack. I'm lacking something. I'm not really perfect. The person who thinks I'm a very good humble devotee, I'm so humble, I know all the words, please forgive my offenses, Prabhu, and so on. He can be a proud, humble guy. There's a lot of people in ISKCON like this. They know all the words. They know all the gestures. But the heart has not entered the receiving mood. It has not been able to go into the place of receiving, because it knows I'm alone, I'm nothing. So my tip to you, everyone, is try to obtain a copy of the Sharanagati prayer book. If you are poor and you have no money, I will give you money. Next time you see me, I will. You can ask me, "Oh Maharaji, you said you give us the book. We have the book, but we needed the temple treasury to forward the Lakshmi. Now you have to pay." I will pay without any grudge. It will help you very much, this guidebook, because by surrender you can obtain everything, and without surrender you can do many things. But if you have not that fundamental basis there, it won't work. Krishna will not be impressed. He will not ask Srimati Radharani to give her shelter or give Bhakti Devi to you. Vraj Bihari Babu, you have asked a person who is by inclination a very proud German, a Viking, a very uncivilized barbarian background, and I had to think about this very deeply, and I'm not saying I have reached already the goal. No, not at all. But I know I will continue to read and practice Sharanagati. And then that will come into my chanting, japa, and then I'm in the receiver's mood when I do japa. This is not my own words. In Bhaktivinod Thakur has written Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and he has also made a little article on chanting the holy name. It is a wonderful article where he says, first and foremost, the devotee who wants to attain Nama Ruchi, a taste in the holy name, must chant in a mood of surrender.
Maharaj, do we have time for one more question?
How can we not have time? Because we are enjoying our company too much. So, Rasik Raman Prabhu, of course. Let us have one more question, and then we, because you have to take out, I don't know how late it is in your place. It must be approaching evening time, isn't it? There are other programs. So one more question. Also, I have to do something else. So, yes.
Yes. Questions there, at the back. Partha Sakha
Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your nice presentation. As you explained that kirtan is more purifying and japa needs a purified mind, but in ISKCON and other senior devotees till now I have heard that japa is more important than kirtan. So what should he do? So I want this clarification.
Wonderful. Please tell me your good name, Prabhuji.
My name is Parth Sakha Das.
Parth Sakha, name of Arjuna, yes, yes. Yes, let me think for a moment about it. We have to resolve things by Shastra, no? Shastra Praman is very important. There is a verse, it says, Kale dosha nide rajan asti eko mahat gunan kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha paramgatim. No? In this age of Kali, Kale dosha, that the Kali is like a big ocean, full of mistakes, you know, faults and so on. There's only one good quality, the japa of the holy name. I quoted the Shastra wrong. Kirtanad, it says. Oh yeah, the kirtan of the holy name. By the kirtan of the holy name, we are becoming free from all these faults, and param vrajet, we go to the highest goal. The Shastra quotation says, it's by the kirtan, and so on. Now, the japa of the holy name is given prominence in our movement because Mahaprabhu said one should chant the name with a certain number, numerical strength. And that is done when you chant on a japa mala and you count the things. This japa is something you can count and you must count. And my main reason is, you are sitting alone with Krishna. You are actually making your relationship with Krishna. I don't think it is good if we say, oh, japa is more important than kirtan, or kirtan is more important than japa. It's both the holy name. It's not that we pit one against the other in a deadly fight. That is not good. But each of the various, characteristics should be understood and applied. Also, we do many, we do a lot of kirtan in our movement, a lot of kirtan. In the morning program, there's the Mangal Aarti, and then there is kirtan, then there's Guru Puja, and at the end of Guru Puja kirtan, there's again Harinam kirtan. If you go through the typical sadhana day of an ashram devotee, there will be a lot of kirtan. Then there's Naga Sankirtan going on the street, chanting the holy names. Then in the evening, those who participate in the evening program, there is Harinam. And then in our movement, we have there has been a very good understanding of the need of kirtan. There are kirtan events happening. I know in Mumbai there are kirtan events. When devotees come together in their homes, they are singing the holy names in Naam Kirtan and so on. Both are important and both have particular effects. And I'm a strong believer of japa. I don't know if you have heard, I've written many books about it, and myself I'm going I'm chanting extra rounds on in the month of Kartik. Since many years I'm doing it because I do understand that the japa is, let us say, offering me an opportunity to show how important Krishna consciousness is to me, because I'm addressing Krishna alone in my voice. Although there may be many japa chanters around me. But yes, kirtan is described to be more effective in the scriptures because of this one quality. It does purify the turbulent mind, whereas in japa, yes, you can chant many rounds, you know yourself, and sometimes you have not even thought one time of Krishna, and so on. The way I resolve this is I try to chant good japa, and I try to work and make japa possible. So that I'm thinking of Krishna. And that was the point of this lecture, no? That we learn how to chant Sneha Yukta Naam, a name which is full of devotion, Krishna conscious, mindful of Krishna. Thank you. What a wonderful question. Pata Saka. Now I have, today I got to learn the name of Krishna. I saw Rasi Graman, then the first speaker was our Radha Gopinath, isn't it?
Yes, Maharaj.
Radha Gopinath, what an honor to meet you. Then I met Radha Kund Prabhu, then I met Raj Bihari Prabhu, then at the end, Pata. Pata Sakya. Yes, and all of you. I wish you all the best from my heart. May all of you have good thing. And if you take this one advice with you to your 64 rounds day, chant in a prayerful mood. That is, when you see you need help, go to Krishna. My dear Krishna, I'm trying, but my mind is not so cooperative. Always please help me and have a wonderful 64 rounds day. What a wonderful idea. We always have, when we do japa retreats, we always have 64 rounds day, or we do even longer. We have a long 10-hour holy name programs and so on. It's very good to chant some extra rounds, but please do it not in a mechanic way. Do it in a devotional way. Good. Then I will end here. Hare Krishna. Sorry for taking extra time. What to do? The subject matter is like this. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. And we'd like to thank you by loudly chanting three times. Hare Bo! Hare Bo! Hare Bo!
Hare Bo.
Thank you, Maharaj. We're looking forward to meet you again as soon as possible.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Maharaj, and you are personally invited to come here at our Govardhaniko village, and we can have a few sessions here.
Oh, yes. Yes, Gauranga Prabhu is always inviting me, and he says we can have 200 participants minimum. And yes, one day I will come and then I will train you personally. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Swami Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.